Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. We're about 2 weeks removed from the Orange Bowl, which wrapped up 2019 for the UVA football team, but preparations for the 2020 season are already underway. My guest today is the man who oversees the Cavaliers' offensive line, and that's Garrett Touje. Coach, there's never a bad time to talk football, is there?
Never. It never goes away.
Welcome back, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
So did you get a little break after the bowl game?
Did. Spent some good quality time with the family, and it was awesome. We had a great time together, and it was good. Get the batteries recharged and ready to get after it.
So there was a lot of scrutiny on the offensive line this season, especially early in the year when the group struggled. But the line steadily improved as the season went on, and the offense became more and more productive, which is obviously no coincidence. What was your take on the season, and what was it like for you kind of seeing your group grow and evolve?
Yeah, it was you're right. It was a brutal start. I think we had some injuries in fall camp that eliminated the opportunity for cohesiveness together as a group. Had a lot of young players playing in their first time at positions. And, you know, again, that's the whole point of being in a Power 5 conference and a Power 5 program is to be able to have that depth. So we were able to build on that through fall camp. But then as the season started, we started getting our regular guys back. And, yeah, the continuity of the group was not where it needed to be in the beginning of the year. And a lot of times – man, we would hear fix it, and we did. And I think, you know, I have a thing, we talk about it all the time in our room, is, you know, all you need to do, like, you could go out and think about, I got to fix this, I got to fix this, I got to fix this. I'm just like, hey, find one thing, right, and evaluate the end of the day that one thing. Right. Did you or did you not get better?
Yeah.
And all I need you to do is get 1% better today than you were yesterday. Now, at the end of the year, holy crap. Now you're, 75, 85% better than you were if you're getting
better every day, yeah.
Better every day. So that was kind of our mantra. And I think, you know, the practice planning with Coach Mendenhall really helped us develop as a group. Again – I think that kind of led to how we finished. You know, nothing in life's where you start, it's how you finish. It does help to start fast and keep building from there, and that's the plan going forward.
I mean, I think back to training camp back in August. I know Ryan Nelson, Dylan Rinkensmeyer both were out for most of camp with injuries. I think they came back game week.
Yes.
Ryan Swoboda still getting reacclimated to contact and football. So it really wasn't a surprise. I think that the group started slowly, that makes it any easier time, but
lost Chris for about a week worth of practices in sprint, Chris Glazer, and then Bobby went down for a couple days, and so just again you just have real young first years in there, and again our defense was clicking at a real high pace. So you know, I think one of the things too with the offensive line position, is there's a lot of confidence that goes in. Mm-hmm. If you're playing well, Then now you start to breed confidence. And there were days where we'd come off the field and our defense just straight kicked our tail. And so I think once those guys that you mentioned came back, we started to build that confidence.
At the end of the season, final regular season game, you play Virginia Tech, which has been known for its defense over the year. Then you play Clemson in the ACC championship game. Then you finish the season against Florida in the Orange Bowl. Those are all teams with big, fast, athletic defenses, but the offense moved the ball well in every game.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Lions play kind of at that level at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's when championships are won, is the end of the year, and to be in that position was awesome. I thought that, again, there's more we could have done in those games. And as a coach, you always are trying to push the envelope to get better, and you're not, you know, it wasn't good enough. I mean, obviously it was good enough against Virginia Tech. And,
right.
And I think that was just, it was awesome to see those guys step up and rise. And I think Bryce was playing better because the guys in front of him were playing better, and it's less for him to worry about. And then, you know, I thought, again, like you said, we moved the ball. We lost a couple opportunities. I thought, you know, there's some more points there that we could have got against Clemson. And again, I, you know, you take three plays in that Orange Bowl game, and I think it's a different outcome. And that's when you play big-time programs. It's going to come down to those three plays. So their progress, I think it was more of their preparation, getting to understand each other and allowing them to have better anticipation that then came down to being able to execute better.
Of the coaches on Coach Mendenhall's staff, you were the only one who did not have a single senior in your group this year. The flip side of that is you got everybody back for 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go through the list. I may forget someone, but Ryan Nelson, Dylan Renkensmeyer, Ryan Swoboda, Bobby Haskins, Chris Glazer, Olu Watimi, Tyler Fannin, Derek Devine, Jonathan Leach, Jaquai Hubbard, Zachary Teeter, Kareem Al-Sufi, Martin Wise, Garrick Vollmer, plus Alex Gellerstedt, who missed last season after transferring here from Penn State. I mean, that's a nice way to start the year, isn't it?
It's a good thing we don't have a camera in here because you could see the big smile. But yeah. I'll tell you, really excited. Great opportunity for us to be put on the map. Again, that's something that's got to be earned.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with the, you know, 5 minutes after in the locker room of the Orange Bowl.
Coaches talk all the time about how important it is to have competition within the team for playing time, for positions. I can't imagine there'll be more competition at any spot than on the offensive line.
No.
Even though you have, on paper, five returning starters, I know you got other guys who want to start as well.
I mean, obviously, as a coach, it would be awesome if those maybe three of all those five were the starters next fall, because then now you've gotten better. And so, you know, I look at, man, hopefully if you can get and replace – four of those guys, man, you're clicking at a better pace from where we finished. And so I just went, it's funny, before this morning I was on the computer doing my depth chart for spring ball and then for fall, and there's competition at every position, two and three deep competition. And so I'm really excited. This spring is obviously huge. This winter with Coach Grizz is huge for my guys. This spring is going to be massive. So
the program is in the midst of an incredible stretch of games. It started with Virginia Tech, then you got Clemson, then you get Florida. You open next season against Georgia in Atlanta. I'm sure Georgia will have another outstanding defense. Do you like the challenge of playing elite teams and elite defenses?
I absolutely love it. That's how you know where you're at. I mean, I love the way we started this year against Pitt.
Right.
They're traditionally defensive heavy, and I just think it lets you know right now where you're at. I think also too, I just talk to my guys and just tell them flat out, I mean, you're going against Georgia. What more motivation do you want? So, I think when you're at a Virginia, you want those big time programs. You have to have a desire to want to go play them, to stack up and represent. I mean, I think it's an awesome opportunity for the ACC to be represented to the University of Virginia in that game against Georgia.
This is a football program that for decades, starting with Coach Welsh, you know, regularly turned out offensive linemen who earned all ACC honors and were NFL draft picks. You walked into a situation where there wasn't much depth or much talent on the offensive line. How close are you to kind of getting the group back to where it's been and where you want it to be?
Yeah, there's a lot of pride at the University of Virginia in offensive line play historically, and I love it. I love the challenge. I love the opportunity. We're close. I think we're close. I think there's some NFL guys in that room, physically, mentally, leadership-wise. We're close, and I think that the nation is starting to see that, and you start attracting better type players. And again, I think it's just a testament to what Coach Mendenhall and we've been able to do since we've been here, and And but you got to thrive and love the challenge of being kind of almost at O-line U.
Your first year here, one of your offensive linemen was Jackson Mateo. He switched into a coaching role. He was a GA the last three seasons. This year, I think he helped you work closely with you. Now he's cycling off. What impact did Jackson have helping you?
I can't even put a price tag on it. Love him like a son. So grateful. I used to go home all the time that first year I was here, and I'd be pissed. And my wife's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I only get to coach Jackson for one year." And she's like, "Well, make the most of that year, you know." And so we did, and just our relationship, you know, we think I don't even have to ask him to do stuff. He already knows. So he's going to be missed, but never forgotten. He did a great job. He did a lot with the tackles this year and helping to continue their development. And he's an integral part of this program, always will be. You know, one of the things that as a coach, you have this extra energy. You have this extra fight. You have this extra passion. And a lot of it is because of who you've coached. And, I told Jackson that he was going to leave Virginia as a champion. He was going to beat Tech, and he was going to leave as a champion. And for him to have been a part of that, man, I don't know if there's a correct emotion that can describe that. But, you know, for him, I was so proud of him and what he's been able to accomplish. So,
on the field, how does the departure of Bryce Perkins affect the offensive line?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, that guy was amazing. And I loved his leadership. He was amazing with the offensive line. He would pep them up. He believed in them. He appreciated them. I mean, I don't know how or what you do to replace a guy that's accountable for, you know, I saw that.
The stat, yeah.
That stat. I mean, it just – but, you know, you look back, and again, not comparing positions or anything like that, but who's going to replace Alamide? Well, that happened.
Yep.
Through a few guys. And so I think Bryce, man, is an amazing young man. I think he has an extremely bright future. I think that the dual threat quarterback in the NFL is becoming a hot commodity right now because of Lamar and things like that. So I think he's going to get a great chance. But, I mean, the way that he was able to distribute the ball to our receivers, the decisions that he was able to make were phenomenal. And, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you do that, but I know that as an offensive staff, we'll find a way. It's what we do. And I'm excited for what we have in the program. I'm excited for Brennan, the Red Rocket. I think he'll come in and he'll you know, be able to do things that we'll be able to do things that fit his style.
Let me ask you about some of your guys in particular, starting with Olu. He played at DeMatha High School, then he enrolled at the Air Force Academy. After a year there, he transferred here and joined the program as a walk-on. He redshirted that first fall, which was 2018. Then he ends up starting at center for you this season. I mean, was that a realistic expectation for you when he said he's transferring here? And at what point was it that first fall when you said, hey, this guy might be able to help us right away?
It was that first fall. Don't know how he slipped through the cracks for us and not being able to recruit him earlier. I thought he, you know, was – again, did a really good job for us. I mean, ended up grading out the highest on the year out of all the guys that played. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, somebody in UVA football program is living well with that just kind of dropping off at your doorstep. But, you know, met with him yesterday, and we've got a plan what he needs to do to improve. And so grateful that he's here and grateful for his leadership.
I mentioned Alex Gellerstedt earlier. He came here as a grad transfer from Penn State with 2 years of eligibility left, suffered a freak injury in August. That required surgery, cost him the whole season. But, you know, I saw him during practice. He's, you know, started doing more and more physical stuff. And, you know, last time I saw him, he was moving pretty well. Yeah. Where is he in his recovery, and what can he add to the line?
So I think at the end of the bowl game, Kelly and the medical staff cleared him as a full 100% ready to go.
Yeah.
So, real excited, big human being that's strong,
yeah.
And he can move really good. And so I'm excited with being able to have him. I would be shocked if he didn't earn a starting position at one of those tackle spots by the end of spring ball. I would imagine that I would fall short of my job as a coach if he didn't do that. And so I think I'm really excited. Brings length and width to the pocket, a mindset. He's got great leadership. He did a really good job this offseason in the weight room, or this season in the weight room, with the younger guys and developing relationships and holding guys to a certain standard, which I loved.
Ryan Swoboda has not had an easy time of it. In college, he suffered heat stroke not long after he enrolled here in the summer of 2017. Wasn't cleared to play again until right before the start of the 2018 season. So he's been playing catch up in terms of strength training, I know, but he's been grinding, and it looked by the end of the season, he was really playing an important role for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where is he? He's still been playing catch up, hadn't he, in terms of strength and size?
Yeah. So for him, I think this winter is huge as far as strength. Extremely athletic, played probably, 45% of the last part of the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Played against pretty good guys and did really well. And so I think I'm excited again with that future. Like you said, we said earlier, competition is huge. And when tackles compete, Coach 2J wins. And so I love the fact that he's going to come back, but gotta have a great, great winter as far as strength. And I think that he's definitely going to be a guy fighting for a starting job.
Your left tackle, I think every game was Bobby Haskins, who's a true sophomore, or was a true sophomore,
yeah.
You know, a second-year guy. He seems to physically look the part of kind of what you want a college tackle and maybe an NFL tackle to be. What's his upside?
You know, I think his, again, this offseason for him in getting strength, that'll be huge for him. But more than anything, the dude's got an incredible mindset. Won't be beat, can't be beat, has great energy. He and I have a pregame thing that we do that just, gets everybody all jacked up. But he just, I think for him, he just needs to keep developing. And I think one of the things that has been huge for him was his preparation, which allowed him to anticipate. And I think he was clicking at a really high level of anticipation the second half of the season, knowing if this, then that, if that, then this. And so I think that his upside is going to be to continue that growth and then get stronger in the weight room.
Your most versatile lineman is probably Dylan. He's played center, guard, and tackle. What's his best spot? Where would you like to use him if, all the other pieces are in place?
He's that utility infielder, man, that I think his best spot would be at a guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe part of the reason we ended up winning the Coastal was because of his versatility and how important that was for us as a team. But I think he'll be better suited at a guard spot. I don't think, he was our backup center too.
Right.
He still played at practice. He was getting snaps there. Didn't have to use him in a game. But it's nice to know that you got a guy that if you need him, he can play here. He can play there in a game. And that's a great thing. But his versatility is off the chart, but I think he's better suited. I think his best game he ever played at UVA to date was against South Carolina, and he was the right guard, and he was getting after it.
So anybody who's seen you in the past year knows that you're a changed man, physically at least. How much weight have you lost now?
So 90 pounds. Yeah, I
have you plateaued? I don't know. Have you leveled off?
So at the end of 80 pounds. At the end of fall camp, I was 240, and I'm about 250 now, just under 250 now. So the long season, I got 10 pounds on me, which is a record because usually it's like 35 to 40. But it's been my back and my legs have been very appreciative, and it makes a big difference.
Now, the flip side of that is some of your linemen could stand to add some weight.
Yes.
Especially, I think, your first year's Jonathan Leach.
Yeah.
Is it difficult for some freshmen to kind of embrace and understand the need to get bigger and stronger to play at this level?
Yeah, I think with Jonathan specifically, he had some success in fall camp. He did really well against some big-time players, defensive players for us. And, you know, there just would come a time, though, where he would just get overpowered. And, again, I think our strength staff does an amazing job of putting on the right weight. And again, I don't think it's a situation with Jonathan where he doesn't understand the importance of it. He knows the importance of it. It's just his metabolism is going crazy. And I think this right now, because remember, he came late in the summer because he didn't get to come in with all the other freshmen. So he came a little bit later. So he didn't really get that 8-week cycle before, but now I'm really looking forward to that having a big deal. And I would love him to get to 270 by the time we get to we show up for camp. I think that'd be good for him.
The recruits who signed during the early period last month included two offensive linemen, one of whom is the highest rated member of the class, Andrew Gentry. He's from out in Colorado. I'm not sure a lot of recruiting analysts around the country had him pegged to go to UVA. How confident were you with that recruitment as the signing date approached?
Very. very confident. I think that, there's a trick to the trade, and it's no secret. But, I think that one of the things that young men across the country know is that the University of Virginia isn't absolutely excellent academic institution, and I love the game of football. It helped me get grad. If I didn't play football, I probably wouldn't have graduated college. Not that there's nothing wrong with, I would have been into some trade or something, maybe tried to go through the military, and not that that's a bad thing, but it enabled me to get a master's degree. I think the education is huge, and there's going to come a day where someone's going to ask you for your cleats.
Yep.
And when that day comes, what do you have to fall back on? And I think if you fall back on a degree, if you're falling back to a degree at the University of Virginia, I think you're going to be okay. How many people can say that? And so knowing their family and knowing how important education is and knowing the impact that young man can make at the University of Virginia, I think, helped my confidence a lot.
So Andrew's going to go on an LDS mission, and he will not enroll here until 2022.
Correct.
I guess you'll be busy in the interim.
Yes,
but that'll be a nice day when that happens, when he gets here. Finally.
It'll be. It seems like a long time away, but
it'll fly by.
It'll fly by.
The other offensive lineman in the class at this point is Justice Johnson, a center from Gonzaga High School up in D.C. He seems to be similar to Olu a little bit in kind of stature and size. Where do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, I love – actually, he and Olu are very similar, analytical. They're great studies of the game. I think Justice will come in a little bit stronger than Olu came in, and I think he's got a little bit better lateral movement than Olu has. And again, I think he'll push Olu a lot. Already since he signed, already sending video back and forth about reading this and reading that, and him and I getting on the same page terminology-wise. I love how you opened up with so far in this class.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because there's work being done, so I'm excited about that.
Good. Well, spring ball doesn't start till late March, so I know players are going to go through their off-season program with Grizz. They'll come back bigger and stronger. It'll be an interesting year for the offense because obviously Bryce is gone, Hassis is gone. Callie's gone. Joe Reed's gone. But you bring back the whole offensive line, all the running backs. Brennan's got some experience. Jana's back. Grant Mish played some. So you start from an interesting place. You're kind of looking forward to seeing the next chapter of the evolution of this offense.
Yeah, and I the thing that's been the most fun working with Coach and I is so many guys get pegged in that they're this. Or this is what this is who you are, and this is what you do. I mean, I'd love for anybody to tell us what it is that we do at the University of Virginia on offense, because it changes because of the tools we have in the shed.
Right.
I mean, I think that's what a smart coach does. I mean, you could say you're this, but if you don't have the tools that fit that, now we go out and recruit for certain measurables and things that we're looking for, so that we can do stuff that we feel. But I mean, the transition from when we got here in that first spring. And then Kurt Bankert comes, and we do all what we did there. And then you get Bryce, and then we do what we all did. I mean, and now it's Brennan. And obviously that position leads the offense and what he can and can't do. But, again, I'm really excited. I think mindset Mish, man, that guy, you got to love that dude on the field. He just he's going to be an amazing addition to our offense, I think. Jana, you know, is – love him, love his energy, and love what he brings and his leadership and all the other guys, the stable of running backs that we have. I think it's going to be a fun year, and I can't wait.
I know I talked to Olu in the locker room after the Orange Bowl, and he said, you know, the one thing for the offense, and particularly the offensive line, that kind of the missing piece has been a consistent running game, apart from the quarterback. I mean, Bryce gave you that, but being able to run it with the running backs – obviously, some of that comes back on the offensive line. Is that kind of the next step for this group? Because it showed it can pass block.
Yeah. I think if you're going to be in the mention of an elite offensive line, you have to be able to do both. And so for us, this past year really worked well with what we were able to do to throw the ball. And so the next piece of the puzzle is to be able to maybe not necessarily lean on the quarterback as much and go from there.
Well, good. I know you'll be working on that, and I appreciate you taking time. This is something of an off week. Not really an off week, but I know you get back to work next week.
Yep.
So thanks for coming over.
Love it. Appreciate it.
All right. The spring semester starts Monday at the university, and UVA Athletics is cranking back up too. For information on all 27 of our teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.
Wahoo Wah.